Hello and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Doug Arnold and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today, and we do invite you to fully participate. You'll find links to worship materials in the description section of our live feed, and as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship today, we also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my joy to welcome all of you to this time of worship together. Wherever you are worshiping, we are connected in the Holy Spirit. We're especially glad to welcome the family of Charlotte, Jameis, and Walton, who are here to celebrate the sacrament of baptism. And I want you all to know that members of this congregation and many folks are worshiping with us. And when it comes time for the congregation to take their vows, we will do that wholeheartedly and continue to be in prayer for her and for all of you as she grows up in the faith. I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance in worship. There should be a link in the chat next to the screen, and if you'll cut that and paste it into your browser, that will give you what you need to sign in. And as you're doing that, I have just a few other announcements to share with you for today. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, our own Andrew Reisinger will be offering a concert at the organ, and it is always such a joy and privilege to be led in worship by Andrew. But today is a special day because we're also celebrating 25 years of ministry among us. And so we hope that you'll tune in and enjoy that afternoon of holy and sacred music, and make sure and send Andrew a note or let him know how much we appreciate his ministry and his gifts among us for these past 25 years. And we hope for 25 more. Just saying. Then later this afternoon at 5 o'clock, our youth will be gathering on site, be having games in the parking lot. I think the rain will have stopped by then. And then they'll be coming inside for their small groups, gathering in large rooms. They will need to be masked the entire time and observing social distance. But it will be fun and a joy for them to see each other in person. So that starts at 5 o'clock and ends at 6:30. And all youth, 7th through 12th graders, are welcome to come. Then again, mark your calendars for the 16th of October. We'll have our church movie night here in the parking lot. We do need you to RSVP, so you can go to the website, westendumc.org/movie, to RSVP for that fun event. And then just to save the date, October 25th, we are going to have a trunk or treat. It will be drive-through only from 4 to 6. We're not asking for volunteers or for people to come and set up trunks. The preschool will be taking care of all of that. But if you have children who would enjoy that, it will be a drive-through event from 4 to 6 on October 25th. And now let us continue our worship as we continue our journey through Matthew's gospel and come across this parable of the wedding banquet, a feast to which we are all invited. Let us worship with joy and celebration this morning.
The Lord of the feast has prepared a table. We give thanks for the gifts of God. Let us worship the God who calls us to come and eat. God's love and mercy are abundant. Let us join together in the prayer of confession as we seek God's forgiveness. God of infinite forgiveness, we ask you to forgive those many times when we have turned our backs on you by turning away from the needs of the voiceless, the hopeless, the helpless. We ignore your invitation to love and serve the world. We allow ourselves to be distracted by the schedules and activities which drain us of energy and enthusiasm. Light a fire under us, O God, that we may again feel the exciting challenge of people. Heal our wounds of indifference and apathy. Bring us together in harmony and joy to serve you and your creation with peace, justice, and hope. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Will and Amber Walton bring their daughter, Charlotte Jameson Walton, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Will and Amber, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? We do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture Charlotte Jameson in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
I do.
And congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
With God's help, will you proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Charlotte Jameson now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Charlotte Jameson Walton.
Charlotte Jameson Walton. I baptize you in the name of the Father and Creator and Parent, the Son and Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Amen. Will you place your hand on her? Charlotte Jameson, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You stay right there.
Will the congregation please stand and face Charlotte Jameson? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sibling in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Charlotte Jameson to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Charlotte Jameson, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
For illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite all of the children to come a little bit closer to where I am on your screens. And imagine with me that you have a birthday and that you are having a birthday party. And you've decided that one of the things that's really important to you is that everybody have a special birthday hat to wear. And it's part of the plan. You're going to play a game with the birthday hats later in the party. So you send out your invitations, and some of your friends show up on the day of the party, and everybody gets a birthday hat. I know it looks like a coffee filter, but I've turned it into a birthday hat. But let's imagine there's one person who's come to the party who doesn't want to wear a hat. He says, "No, I don't want to wear a stupid hat. I just want to come to the party and eat the cake." How would that make you feel? You've got this party and plans for everybody and something that you're asking everybody to do, but one of the people says, "I am not wearing a hat." We've just heard a parable of Jesus that's kind of hard to understand and a little bit confusing. But the last part of the parable made me think about this birthday hat. Jesus said that life with God is meant to be a party, a great celebration, and everybody's invited. And God wants us to be there at the party. And God wants us to do the things that God knows are good for us, to be kind and loving and generous. God wants us to put on God's hat and to be more like God. And there's a person in this story that Jesus tells who doesn't want to put on a wedding robe. It just makes me think about how that must make God feel. So hopefully we can hear this story and remember that we're all invited to be part of the party of God. And that in return, God wants us to try hard and be more like God. If any of you have a better birthday hat than this, please send it to me. Well, once again, this morning in our scripture reading, we find Jesus at a party, or at least talking about a party. It seems to me from reading the Gospels that Jesus really liked a good party. The very first miracle he does in John's Gospel is at a wedding feast when the host has run out of wine and Jesus takes water and turns it into wine to keep the party going. Throughout the Gospels, we see him sitting at the table feasting with all kinds of people. He sits at the table with the Pharisees and religious leaders, with Martha and Mary, with tax collectors like Zacchaeus, with his disciples. Sitting and feasting with friends was a really important part of Jesus' ministry. And the image of the dinner party, the image of the banquet, the feast, was one that Jesus returned to again and again and again in his teaching. And he does so this morning in the parable that we call the parable of the wedding feast. "The kingdom of God," he says, "may be compared to a wedding feast, which a king gave for his son." Now, this parable appears in two different gospels, in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel. And if I'm going to be really honest, I sort of wish we were reading Luke's version today. But it's Matthew's version that's in the lectionary. Matthew's version of this parable is a lot harder to take and a lot harder to understand. There is violence. When those who are first invited to the wedding feast reject the king's invitation, on the third try, they kill the king's messengers. And then he sends troops to burn down their city. And it's hard to understand why Matthew would include these sorts of elements in the parable. And I would encourage you, because I'm not really going to do a deep dive into that part of the parable this morning, to do some reading on your own, read some commentaries, learn about the community that Matthew was writing to, and maybe there are some clues in that. But not only is that part troubling, in Matthew's version of the parable, he adds this second part that's not included in Luke's version. And it's that second part of the parable that I want to focus on this morning. So there's the wedding feast, and those who were originally invited to the feast have no interest in coming. They reject the king's invitation. They made light of it. They were casual about it. And so the king says, okay, go out and just invite anybody, good and bad, just bring them in off the streets. I want my hall to be full to celebrate my son's wedding. And so all these people are just brought in, all kinds of people, good and bad, the parable says. And the party's going on. People are singing, dancing, eating, feasting. And the king is making his way around the room, and suddenly he sees a man who's not wearing a wedding robe. And so he asks the man, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And the guy's like, he doesn't know what to say. So the king throws him out, where there is weeping and darkness and gnashing of teeth. Once again, a difficult part of this parable to understand. And on first reading, this seems really unfair. I mean, this guy has just been brought in off the street, right? How was he supposed to know he needed a wedding robe? And what if he's poor and the clothes he's wearing are the only clothes he has? Is the king so out of touch with his people that he doesn't even realize that not everybody has a tuxedo in their closet? Well, I think as we look at this parable and learn a little bit more about what weddings were like in Jesus' day, there's something about this that actually does make sense. You see, when someone hosted a wedding, if you didn't have a wedding robe, the host would provide you with one. They had robes ready at the door, and all you had to do was to take it and put it on. It reminds me of years ago when I was traveling in Italy, and there were some churches, some cathedrals, that if you wanted to go inside, you couldn't be wearing shorts. Men or women, you couldn't be wearing shorts. And so on a day when we'd been walking around in the heat of summer and we didn't know that, we'd try to get in to tour the church, and they'd say, no, you can't come in, but we will provide you with a wrap. Or for the men, we'll provide you with a pair of pants so you can come in. We want you to come in, but we want you to respect our culture and our way of doing things. Or someone in Bible study suggested it's like some of those nice restaurants who require men to wear jackets or sport coats. If you arrive at the door and you don't have one, they have a closet full of them right there, and you can wear one of theirs. And you're welcome to participate because they want to set a particular kind of atmosphere in their restaurant. Well, a similar thing was happening at this wedding. The king had this great celebration and feast, and he wanted everybody there, and he wanted everybody to be part of the celebration and to wear a wedding robe. But for some reason, this guy rejects the wedding robe that's offered to him. He doesn't want to wear it. He wants to come and eat the food and dance the jig and be part of the party, but he doesn't want to change. And suddenly this parable begins to sink in and feel really real. It seems that part of Matthew's intent in sharing this parable where he does in his gospel is to remind Christians, those who have accepted Christ and believe in Christ, that it doesn't just stop with accepting the invitation. We have to make a commitment to be transformed, to live into the life God calls us to live life on God's terms and in God's way. When we become a Christian, we commit ourselves to growing into the likeness of Christ. This morning, little Charlotte Jameson was baptized, and it reminded me that when in the early church someone was baptized, they would be given a white robe. As they came out of the waters of baptism, they put on a new life. They put on Christ. And even today, Charlotte Jameson's wearing a beautiful white dress. We've kept that tradition because we understand that in baptism, there are parts, the old self dies with Christ and the new self is raised with Christ. And now we put on the wedding robe of Christ. And we spend our days living into and living up to the life that Jesus calls us to. I was raised in the United Methodist Church. And I remember in the earlier days of the old hymnal that we had when I was growing up, the liturgy of the baptism included a beautiful phrase that still comes back to me again and again. We commit, as the congregation's vow, to live lives that become the gospel for the sake of the child or for the sake of the person that's being baptized. To live a life that becomes the gospel. To live a life in which we allow God to challenge us and stretch us and transform us. I don't know about you, but there are times, especially in stressful moments like the one we're in these weeks, where I just want to sit down and read the Bible. I want to come into the church and just be comforted. And just hear that wonderful good news we proclaim. God loves everybody unconditionally. You are beloved and held, and that is deeply true. It is a bedrock belief of who we are. You are loved by God exactly as you are. But like it or not, that's not the end of the story. Everybody coming into the wedding feast is not the end of this parable. There's more. There's an expectation. There is an invitation to change, to allow the gospel of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the expectations of life with God to challenge us and shape us and change our minds and broaden our understanding and widen the circle of who's included. Being part of the great party of the kingdom of God can be hard work at times. And so we need to see that this guest who rejected the wedding robe is not a good example for us. We need to be willing to enter into the feast on the terms of the host. I think perhaps the Apostle Paul put it best in his letter to the church in Colossae. He's reminding them of this robe of Christ that they put on in baptism. And he says to them, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves." And here's the robe that we hear in the parable. "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." I haven't quite grown into my wedding robe. I'm still growing. But I'm grateful to be at the party with all of you as all of us continue to be reminded that we belong at the party and as we continue to grow into this beautiful wedding robe that God has given us. Thanks be to God.
At this time, I invite you to stand as we affirm our faith. We're using number 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. This morning, we extend our sympathy to the family of Beth Creighton, who died on Saturday, October 3rd. Among her survivors are West End member Walton Hall. Prepare us now, loving God, for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear Lord of the feast, we come to you this day hungry for what only you can provide. We come ready to celebrate your abundance, and you give it to us so graciously. For waking up each morning to your mercies, which are new every day, we give you praise. You call us to the table, yes, even us. Who are we that you invite us to be with you? We stand in awe. And while we come with joy at your invitation, we also come this morning with great pain. We lift up to you those who are sick and for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. God, we pray for a vaccine and a cure for COVID-19. Give doctors and scientists wisdom and innovation. We ask that you be with those fleeing persecution and danger. We pray for wars to cease and for your peace to reign. We ask for abundance for our neighbors who have little and shelter for those without homes. We ask your protection over those who are incarcerated and those on death row. We pray for justice to reign, and we pray for your mercy to reign when justice does not. Keep our eyes open for ways that we cause harm and help us to overcome. Be with us, O God. Embolden us to take the next steps towards the world you would call us to create. Help us embody your love when the world is unloving. Remind us that we are your hands and feet in the world, called to do your work. Calm our anxious hearts. Help us to speak truth even when our voice shakes. May we always seek first your kingdom in all that we do and say. We pray that you heal the deep divisions in our country, and that you would raise up among us leaders who would seek to do your will. Help us all to turn towards you as we seek to truly embody the prayer that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we invite you to give your tithes and your offerings, so that our congregation can continue its vital ministries in our communities and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you're able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
from this place, I remind you of a church sign
I saw one time that said, "Come as you are. Just don't expect to stay that way." We're on a journey of transformation into the likeness of Christ. God has a brand new shining wedding robe for all of us to grow into. Thank you for being companions on that journey. May the grace of Christ continue to grow within us, and may the peace of Christ sustain us and hold us this day and every day. Amen.